Hi, I'm Tatiana, and today on the Conscious Diva podcast, I'm going to be sharing the tools of an ancient spiritual modality. I've always been a seeker, and I love learning about different healing tools. I didn't know a lot about the Chinese Taoist system, let alone what the five element cycle is. So on today's show, you're going to meet Tisha Morris. Tisha is an entertainment attorney, a feng shui expert, and the author of five books on the healing arts. And in this episode, we will be chatting about her new and latest book, Missing Element, Hidden Strength. Tisha teaches how to embrace your missing element, water, wood, fire, earth, or metal, so you can activate your creative potential by improving your most challenging element. So what does that mean? Well, Tisha's going to break down the ancient Taoist five element cycle and explain how it relates to our personalities, any creative process, and collaborative relationships. In other words, we're going to learn how to integrate our shadow side so we can unlock our fullest expressions. So here we go, Tisha Morris on applying the ancient Taoist principles. Welcome, Tisha. Awesome. So great to talk to you about.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So your new book, Missing Element, Hidden Strength, I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to put it down because I really wanted to know, okay, what's my missing element? You know, I couldn't put it down then. I really wanted to absorb what I was reading.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to have you talk about your book because this is your fifth book and you have a really interesting background, which I loved learning more about when I read the book. And I felt that this book was a culmination of your life's work to date so far. It really felt you've included so many different aspects of areas that you've worked with. And I particularly loved who it's for. You know, it's so beautiful. And I was really moved by that. So, you know, thought that was really special. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. The minute I read that, I was really like, wow, this was a guided book. And I hadn't even started reading it yet, but then this little sense just came over me. So, tell us about your book.
Well, it was also the book that helped me through a time of after a great loss. And my writing has always been what I turn to during difficult times. And I'm really grateful for this book for being there. I had the idea for this book actually several years ago when I was actively teaching feng shui. I have a feng shui school. It's still ongoing online. But when that was at the height of that, I would teach the five elements, obviously, to my students. And in teaching it, the five elements is known in the feng shui circles as one of the more cerebral aspects of feng shui, because there's all these different cycles and how the elements interplay. This book only touches on really what we consider the constructive cycle. But anyway, I would use the creative process as a literal metaphor for how the elements interplay together. And so I knew that this would be a good book at some point. The title had just dropped in out of the water element phase one day on a walk about, it was in like 2015. So I started writing this book in 2020. So 5 years before this title dropped in, and I knew what it was referring to. Personal development books, in all modalities really focus on our strengths, which is great. We all like strengths. Those are good. I call it kind of the softball that life gives you. But I wanted to actually look at what I consider our missing element, kind of our weakness, and not for the purpose of like making life difficult for us. but around this time, I came across the very famous Joseph Campbell quote that says that the cave you fear to enter holds your greatest treasure. And so that quote is in the very beginning of the book and was really the foundation, even though it has nothing to do with Chinese medicine. Although Joseph Campbell was a big fan of the I Ching, but I kind of used that as my guiding, as my North Star through this book.
Let's just maybe explain for listeners, what is the I Ching or what is the philosophy around it?
Yeah, so the I Ching is considered arguably the oldest book ever written, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And it really is the Bible, so to speak, for Taoism. And Taoism is an ancient philosophy. And it's gone through a lot of evolutions in and of itself. But at its core, anyone in the spiritual circles have borrowed from these tenets of Taoism. We're all drops in the same ocean, going with the flow. You know, all these like kind of cliches are really rooted in Taoism. But Taoism looked to the I Ching for its wisdom. And the I Ching, I won't get too nerdy on you, but like the I Ching and its origins were just lines we call trigrams, and kind of like binary code in the computer world now, where a solid line is yang energy and a broken line is yin energy. And these combinations of these lines is what is really the spectrum of energy, yin and yang energy. And then later became hexagrams, which is six lines. And anyway, became what we now know as the I Ching, which is 64 hexagrams, all being a spectrum of yin and yang energy. Now it's kind of used as a divination tool, all kinds of applications for it. But five of those original eight trigrams were the five elements. And they are the cornerstone for all Chinese medicine modalities, acupuncture, qigong, and feng shui. And it's these five elements that are the ingredients for everything on our planet, including you and me, everything in your living room, your office, looking out the window into the garden, everything in the garden, everything is made up of these five elements. And in acupuncture, it shows up as our organ systems. This is what acupuncture is meant to balance our five elements within us. It also shows up in our personality, even in our clothing. You wore a nice fire element today. I wore a wood element today. So we are wood feeds fire. So we should have plenty of energy, yang energy going on today. So it is these five elements that make up everything. And so the only difference is the recipe of, for example, today I'm bringing some more wood into the conversation, and you're bringing some more fire into the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. And what was interesting when I was reading about the five elements in this philosophy, and I love learning about new things. And so I was in the beginning, I was a little confused. I'll admit I was confused, because not by your book, your writing is very clear and very easy to track, and which is one of the reasons I couldn't put it down. I was confused from long ago when I first was introduced to the five elements in this philosophy as the wood and the metal aspects, because I hadn't necessarily thought of wood and metal in the past as elements, as opposed to the, you know, the Akashic.
Western astrology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Western astrology, but also more in the tradition that I've been practicing for decades. Particularly, I'm referring to Buddhist and Hindu traditions,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, where it's earth, water, fire, we have wind, the Vayu, and space, which we can consider the Akash. So those two, I was like, huh. So can you explain how they're different and why they're not, you know, or how they're similar and how they're different?
Absolutely. I would love to talk about this. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, actually, because I have a background as in yoga, which is, you know, based in the Hindu sciences as well. And what I love about I call it when East meets East. A lot of times in our Western world, we just throw all the Eastern sciences all in one bucket. But yeah. And there is a lot of overlap. But what I love about the Vedic sciences, which is based in Hinduism, and then the Chinese medicine, which is based in Taoism, is that they both have a mind component, meaning they understood the mind-body connection thousands of years ago. We're just now catching up to that. But they also all have a home component. With Hindu Vedic sciences, it's Vastu Shastra. Mm-hmm. And it's Feng Shui. And they both of these sciences put the home, our space, our environment on the same playing field as our mind and body, which I absolutely love, which was actually why I entitled my first book, Mind, Body, Home. And so they both have these elements as a basis for them. And there are a lot of overlap, actually. You'll see the fire in Ayurvedic medicine would be the pitta, kapha, water, and vata would be metal. And so there are a lot of overlaps, because these are in both of these systems,
okay,
building blocks.
Metal. Okay, that didn't occur to me. Okay, that makes sense.
The building blocks, it's like wind, it's like air. So in the tarot deck, it's the swords. So what we're talking about is basic building blocks of everything on our planet. And so there definitely is an overlap in these. But what differentiates and what I love about the five elements is that it's a cycle. It's the cycle, not just any cycle, it's the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. And that, and it's also, in other words, the creative cycle, the cycle of creating thoughts into things, starting with an idea and finishing with a completed product, what a project or whatever. And so that's what makes it a different system. And in my opinion, a little bit, or not more special, but.
Well, it would, thank you very much for clarifying. It was really clear, by the way, in your book, how different it is, but I wanted to hear you say it because as I was beginning to say, I was confused originally and had been for some time earlier on. And then I just forgot that I was confused by it. And then, because I hadn't really thought about it, you know, I hadn't really put much thought to it because I have my practice I've been doing for so long. And when I call upon the elements to work with, I'm definitely not doing it in a cyclical way. I'm not consciously doing it to apply to writing my book, say, or a project, mm-hmm. as you have really clearly outlined in your book. And so when I was reading it, I was like, ha, okay. Didn't even realize I was doing all this stuff, you know, unconsciously. And, yep. You know, I've been writing a book and I'm in my, to my second draft. And I was just away in Nepal a couple months ago. And when I came back, I went through it. I suddenly felt very like this urge to tap into, unbeknownst to me, the middle element and become very focused and really just get to it. And I was like, ha. Huh. And I, when I left, I had like 90,000 words. And when I came back, I just was like, had this desire to look at it. And my mind, it's almost like something just, it happened when I used to produce TV shows for, you know, over 20 years. And the same kind of thing would happen at that stage of production, of the pre-production, or when we're like, it's written, everything's together, we're about to go off to the shoot, and I know exactly what's happening, and I have this sort of laser sharp precision, I know exactly what's going to happen, but, you know, all of that stuff. And so I almost felt like that had sort of happened to me mentally, in a sense. I was like, oh, I know I need to come back and organize the contents. I need to, you know, copy it, move things, just restructure the whole thing. And when I started to do that, I realized so much of the content didn't matter. I just went through and was like, nope, nope, nope. And I think I deleted, I mean, like 60,000 words, you know, almost. I mean, I really did. I started with about 92,000 and I went down to like, I don't know, 34,000 or something, which is a lot, right? That's almost starting fresh. But I realized I needed to do this in order to start again, to come back to what's more important in telling the story. And as I was reading your book, I realized that I was actually applying the elements, and I was just like, wow, I didn't even realize. And then I went and did your element test that I know you can do on your website. And so I went and did it again, and they were almost equal, not completely balanced. I think the first two, actually, I've got it open. So there's a great, you can go and do find out your missing element on through Tisha's website, actually, if you want to do her quiz. But I got wood element and fire, and then 25% and 22%. Then metal was 19%, and then water and earth were both 17%. Mm-hmm. So somewhat similar.
I would guess earth would be your missing element.
Okay.
And so here's what happened in that process.
Well, how could you tell that?
Well, I know I can tell that wood is your highest, you're just a seeker. I mean, yeah, it might be good to go through all the elements and how they show up in people, but I want to speak to something. So when you went to Nepal and set it aside, that was the earth element phase. Mm. And so when you came back, you were then able to seek more clearly. And that's when you entered the metal phase. So earth is what you is kind of what I call your missing element. And that's a phase that's easy for you to gloss over. But this time you were forced to not to because you had that trip.
Yeah, it's true. And it was great to actually just see this and understand what I can do to ground myself, to bring myself back in. And then I started to think about how I had perhaps done that in the past with things, other aspects. So anyway, I
love that you brought up film production, because that's also a great example of the creative process using the five elements, in that, as you know, in production, like you go through you do the shoot, right? You have all this film footage, and it would be nothing without the post-production, without the editing phase, right?
Yeah.
And it would just be a bunch of garbly goop. And it's that post, that's the editing phase. And so that's what you just finished with your book doing.
Well, so tell us where else can we apply the five elements to our lives once we've figured out, and then what do we do with this information?
So once you kind of realize, and it's not an exact science, and our missing element, our primary element, can shift and shape throughout our lives. I'm inherently a wood element, but during a period of grief, I'm not going to be so woody, I'm going to be more in the water. So you can look at it as a time of life. You can also look at it as you are generally throughout your entire life. So it will shift and shape, but usually where your missing element is, how you do one thing is how you do everything. You might even notice in your gardening, like if you have, like, if you water your plants too much or underwater, or don't have, I never have enough dirt for my plants. Like I'm always under dirt, or which is earth. It's the earth element. And that's a common constitution for me, is not having enough earth. But it's also, this shows up. And so a lot of times just bringing awareness to what your missing element is may be enough right there of like, oh, you know what? Every time I get to the stage, I, drop the ball, so to speak. In the book, I give you some practical ways of kind of integrating that missing element into your life through activities, and even through your wardrobe on certain days. If you need that extra fire, wear the red dress. It's the power tie in interviews is that cliche is very literal, because you're bringing fire to that meeting.
Yeah. I did actually intentionally wear a red shirt today, and the reason being, I received some news last night that an old friend that I've known since childhood passed away yesterday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. In Australia time, so it was the evening for us here last night, and he'd been sick. But I this morning I woke up and I was just in black. I was wearing like navy blue and black, and definitely in the watermelon, feeling very emotional and really like just in the sadness, because it's so fresh to learn this information. And I was almost considering, should I postpone or reschedule with you? And then I was like, no, you'll be okay. Like I gave myself the time this morning. I meditated, I did some yoga just to move the emotions through, not to put it aside and forget about him or the way I was feeling and still am feeling, but just to, not have to just be in that space all day. And so then I was like, I'm going to put on a red shirt and I'm going to really channel the fire energy. And I'm just going to like see how it transforms me, my vibe. And I put it on about an hour ago and it did. And I was like, okay, I feel, I was allowing myself to just lean into the vibe, the energy of my red shirt, because I wanted to feel happy. I wanted to be able to bring it today. Like I want to be able to talk to you because your book is really great. And I was like, no, like it's not fair. Like it's, I can show up and do this with you and for you and for myself. And then I can also show up for him and my, because it's also the night there in Australia. And so in a few more hours, when everyone's awake again, I can then go back, and get on the phone and tune into my sadness, But so I did wear it with intention. So thank you. Yep. Like that was a really lovely reminder in the book when I was reading that section a few days, because I read that section before I found this out. So I was like, I'm going to actually just see, because I've always been like that, but I don't think I would have ever intentionally changed my color of my clothing if I was feeling sad. I think I probably would have just wallowed in it, and I probably would have maybe postponed with you before, but I really just thought, well, just give it a go.
Yeah, try it on. Literally try it on. See if it works.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So thank you.
Well, the green shirt in me sees the red shirt in you on this Monday morning, which I noticed that I like tend to wear black clothing on Mondays because that's when I'm like feeling kind of introverted and, you know, after the social weekend. And so I do put more intention into my colors now. And it does make a difference.
And now, your background too. You've got your water behind you and your plant on it.
Yeah. So using the elements in your space is a component definitely that I have used in the book and borrows from my feng shui experience. And I find, if you have a space in your home that's just yours, for me it is this office. That's the space I recommend really using the elements for your own energy. Throughout the rest of the home, you have to take, it's more of a balance of the elements in general, because your household, if you have others that live with you, will be at different element types usually. So if you have a space that's yours, really just in the same way we just talked about wardrobe, think about it in terms of your space and which of those elements you want to bring more out. So
you've got water, metal, and earth right there with you, it looks like.
That's right. The painting, actually, even though the colors are definitely water, they have an energy about them that brings out some fire. The strokes that are very dynamic strokes would have a fire quality to them. So that's one of the reasons I selected that painting. And then the light, natural light in general, you can see natural light coming through my window, and the artificial light from the light is a fire element. So anything that, the sun is our ultimate fire element. So light or something mimicking the sun, which is artificial lights, are fire element as well.
I'm in a room that's actually wood. So I did not intentionally decorate. I mean, aside from placing pictures and some other things and the carpet choice and whatever, my house looks like a chalet style wood cabin almost. So I totally in a wood environment in a forest. Yeah. but I do have a big window in front of me where a lot of light comes in. And I was really thinking about is there a way to reposition things when I'm writing? But then I do really love to sit by the window, even though my door is behind me, as you can see. I have a very large window that I'm looking out to. So if someone, obviously, and you mentioned you offer tips and solutions in your book, like perhaps in a kitchen or in another space that feels more intuitive to you, have a better vibe. What kind of tips, like if you're missing an element and you're not able to alter your living space in any way, what can a person do? Is it just colors and activities, or are there additional things that they can do?
Well, there are, there's very simple things you can do that do relate to your space if you don't have control over the entire room or house. For me, so my missing element is fire, it's not my ultimate missing element's earth, like throughout my life, but of the last few years, fire has been my missing element. And so I light a candle, like when I'm in the fire phase of a project, which for me is usually writing a book, which is the dedication, which is getting the, 90,000 words out of your, on paper. That's my personal missing element. And so I light a candle, which is the ultimate fire. I mean, that's fire, literally fire. These elements show up in their literal form and in symbolic forms, which color being symbolic, but they're literal, the flame. It's just, it's a literal element that's in my, right here on my desk or a table, kitchen table, if that's where you write. I also find that I write best in busy places, like where there's fire, like the fire of people. So I write really great in coffee shops, strangely enough, whereas someone who is already has a lot of fire element, my wife, Rachel, she's a fire element. She cannot, too much of a good thing is never a good thing. So she needs to write in a very quiet, watery space to kind of cool her fire a little bit.
So
of course I'm using writing as our example here, but it can be anything that you're invested in your time in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Starting a podcast, starting a business. It also, even a relationship can go through the five element phase of a relationship. Let's say you start, everything starts in the water phase of what you desire, what you want, ideas, it's the intangible phase. So let's say I want a relationship, you know, and so then you would start into the what phase of actually taking some steps, some action, tangible action steps, maybe downloading an app or, you know, making yourself at the, you know, make going a place, going to a place to make yourself more, you know, seen and available. So those would be some wood, the wood phase. And then the fire is when you actually, is the coming together of people, the falling in love, the passion, the energy, all the energy that goes with a new relationship. And then the earth phase is when you start getting comfortable, and it's like the mundane, for lack of a better word. And then in the metal phase is when we start to like, I don't really like when you do that. It's the pick at the other person part. And then everything in life is a cycle, right? And so we go through these cycles and we come back to the water phase and remember what we love about this person and how much we love being in relationship. And then we go back in the wood phase and start working on, you know, our relationship and vice for fall back in love. Anyway, the point is everything is a cycle. And we come back around to these same cycles. And so in your book, you're going to probably re-enter the fire phase, or you already re-entered the wood phase with the components. After you rearrange things, you'll probably re-enter the fire to add some sections now that you have a new framework for it. And then, you know, for writers, once your book comes out, you enter a whole new phase. I'm in the fire phase of promoting my book right now. So life is all about these cycles.
And I love that you've also got it, not just in romantic relationships, but also work relationships too, and how to figure out the balance of, so how do you do that subtly? Like in the work environment, you go and ask the person, hey, what can you just do this element test for me? Yeah. How well we're going to work together.
Well, I mean, the corporations now use personality tests. It's a huge statistic of how corporations are using personality tests now. I mean, it's not that new, but I think it's become more and more normal as remote working and, you know, even interviewing from Zoom becomes a norm. These personality type tests will become more important. I don't see it as a way of whether to hire someone. It's more about where will they best be placed within the business, and who will they best be, who will they best work with in forming a team or a collaboration and really setting up a team to win, so to speak. That's how I would use the five elements, because there is no right or wrong or better set of elements within your own constitution. It's all good. It's just, where do you best thrive, and what other elements would you best work with? So, you know, corporations use the Myers-Briggs, the Enneagram. There's lots of tests floating out there. To your point, also, another way you can integrate your missing element is through collaboration. That's a big, you know, you don't have to be all things to at all times. There's times when collaboration comes into play. And a lot of times we hire out our missing element, and there's nothing wrong with that, or we partner in love or in work with our missing element. And that's a really beautiful, beautiful way to integrate it.
I liked that after you get past, in the book, you've got the creating collaborations, you have the section on creating your dream team, assuming you mm-hmm. are in an office space or maybe not, you know. But what I really loved and wanted to know, actually, does the five elements method worksheet, do you have that as a PDF or do you plan on creating a journal, like a diary that extension of this? Because I could totally see that as a bigger thing, where I was like, I haven't written in them yet, because I was like, the spaces are so small in here and I didn't want to write a book. But what I loved was that it forced me, in a sense, mentally, because when I read mm-hmm. through everything, I immediately was like, filled in the blanks with my mind. I didn't physically write anything. Yep. But then I was like, then I went to there and I went, my God, like, okay, this is, and it reminded me a little bit also of doing my book proposal. We both worked with her. I was like, this is really great, because it's actually what I feel like I needed. I needed like this little bit of organization push, in a sense, to help me really get focused, much more laser focused on all these other aspects that I had been feeling a little bit like, what, something's missing. I'm not sure what it is, or I'm not sure like why am I behaving that way, or why aren't I able to pull it together, like get my shit together. So that's why I was like,
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm doing a goal setting workshop on December 13th that leads up to that worksheet. That worksheet is the foundation of the workshop. So the answer is yes. But yeah, if you don't, I don't have a PDF available on my website, although I can make that happen. But you can, you know, just journal, you know, use a journal, or, you know, write it out on a piece of paper. Because yeah, the book pages are small.
Yeah, well, I was also wondering, because you have the NFTs as well as a part of this book. So explain what those are quickly, what NFTs are. And then with the same question for you, I was also wondering, is perhaps that PDF available within as bonus content?
You're giving me all great ideas. thank you. So the NFTs are just me being
water. It's because I was like really just like wrapped in water this morning. Like, yep, there.
You can take the water out of her, but she can't take the
that's right.
take her out of the water. So yeah, I released some NFTs that coincide with this book, and you know, I did it really out of my wood self of like. The wood is the pioneer, like the person who takes off on a journey is the first to do so and a leader. And so I've been really into the crypto space, even though right now it's completely crashed and not a great time for it. But I do believe it's going to be the future. And so, and also as an attorney, an entertainment attorney, NFTs are going to play a big, big role in the entertainment industry. So, you know, the best way to learn something is just to do it yourself. And so that was part of the reason I decided to release these NFTs is to
explain what they are. Like, what do those letters stand for?
So non-fungible token, and it's fungible. It just means it's unique, as opposed to a dollar bill is fungible, and every dollar bill is a dollar bill is a dollar bill. Whereas a non-fungible is there's a uniqueness about it. And so that's just what that means. It's not nothing too fancy. And so you can think of it as a piece of art, and how each piece of art is unique, at least the original piece of art. And so there is usually a limited quantity as part of the NFT, similar to 100 prints of a painting, so to speak. The NFTs, you know, right now, they're more of a novelty in the collectible. They will become more utilitarian, used for utility purposes in the future, on a bigger scale than we can see right now. And so with these particular NFTs, I hired an artist to design five elements for NFT for each of the elements.
Beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
And they look great in that 3D.
So they rotate.
They look really good. Yeah.
Yep. And they correlate with the look of the ones on the cover of my book. And so one of them does have exclusive content. It has my book proposal that I use for this book. It has the pitch letter that I use for this book. It has my all the material that took into creating this book that no one ever sees. Is in the wood element NFT.
And I just want to say those are invaluable examples. Not that I've seen yours, but having worked with a similar coach, that's invaluable information that Tisha is sharing for a dollar.
Yeah. So you can go to OpenSea.io. OpenSea is just a marketplace for NFTs, similar to eBay. It's like what eBay was in the early 2000s, basically, is what OpenSea is. And you do have to have a crypto wallet to use the site. And so if you're already in that world or interested in that, it's a good way to dip your toe into it.
Yeah, awesome. What other types of additional content? Because I looked at all of them and I saw you're offering different things with each one.
Yeah, so that one I mentioned is the only one. It's like where it's exclusive content. That's the only way you can access that content is through that NFT. The other is just some of my courses bundled at a discounted price, really. In fact, my feng shui certification course is the metal element. And that course is normally $1,200. And if you get through the NFT, it's about $500. So just, I give, you know, some discounts for your extra effort of of going into this world and experimenting.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's really cool. So you just, we were talking before about obviously the missing elements or finding your element. And when I was researching a little bit more, just from my own knowledge, reading about Taoism and these five elements, I came upon some information about finding your element with your birth date. And mm-hmm. I don't know but I looked at, so I've got a four in my year, and I was like, huh, and wood was totally my first element. And my husband has a one in his, and I was like, huh, he's so metal. Okay. So I wondered, like, so my question to you is that a thing? Like, is that another way people can figure out their elements
yes.
without doing a quiz? Yeah. Okay.
It is. So it's Chinese astrology. And that, so I'm a metal pig, and metal is definitely my first or second element right there with wood.
Oh, so that's what people get when you hear the wood tiger or the whatever. Ah, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay, cool. All right. So I'm a wood tiger.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, it is a way, they're all ways of self inquiry, you know, and some people resonate with their Chinese astrology element and some people don't. And I think it's good, you know, as a self-help junkie like yourself, I love exploring all the ways. And the quiz, what I like about the quiz is it shows you how you are among all five. And because we all are all five.
Yeah.
So even though you're a wood tiger, you're also all five. You have them at your disposal when you need them. I call them your inner board of directors. So the water is your inner guru when you need that wisdom. The wood element is your inner pioneer leader when you need to take charge on something. The fire element is your inner motivator, cheerleader when you need that energy. The earth element is your inner mother, nurturer, when you need that time of self-care. Your metal element is your inner editor or the precision when you need that extra element of precision or discernment. Yeah. So we have all of these within us, and we all, you know, lead with one of them more than the other, but we all have access to all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining that again. And from a different aspect, on the weekend, on Saturday night, I knew I needed to just go take a bath. I was like, I just knew that's my place of getting back to myself is getting into the bath or just being in the shower, like letting the negative ions in the water really just come and affect me. And I needed that after being having a really full weekend, a full Thanksgiving week, actually. So I am aware of when I need to really put myself in that situation. But I hadn't, like I said before, I hadn't actually thought about the metal or the other or earth. Because I love being in nature so much, I hadn't really ever considered not being as grounded as I thought I was. Until I looked at your sort of reading that chapter on the elements and was reading through all the earth stuff. And I was like, wow.
Well, we really are drawn to our missing element. I mean, because we have it within, it's a shadow, basically. And we're drawn, that's why we're usually drawn to that element in someone else or attracted or, you know, whatever word you want. So we're very drawn. So you're drawn to nature because you need that grounding. So it really is a shadow. And that's really, this book is about integrating shadows is really what it's the Trojan horse for.
Thank you. Yes. And again, not to make this all about me, but I'm giving you these examples or listeners examples because they're relatable. This weekend, like we were just bombarded with like how many Black Friday and Cyber Monday emails were coming in since last week. It was like relentless. Every time I opened my email, like my inbox, it was just whatever, next, you know, all sales. And I was feeling so overwhelmed by it. I was like, oh my God. And just the reminder of being able to ground oneself, it was great because I just needed to be, oh my God, like just put your phone down. Doesn't mean you have to go and buy all these things just because everything's 70% off. It's like, do you know, like it was just, it can happen in any space. It doesn't have to be in a relationship or work. It was just being aware of how I was being affected by all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then understanding how to perhaps go and just step away.
Yeah.
And breathe and that might sound like a silly example, but I'm sure a lot of people felt really
No, it's very relatable. Very relatable.
The shopping. It was crazy. I felt like mm-hmm. it was more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Text. I mean, it seemed like every half an hour there was something like appearing on my phone. It was like, I'm gonna turn my phone off.
Yeah, it's energy coming at you. That's unsolicited energy coming at you. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So do you practice feng shui still? Are you still a practitioner?
Yes.
Okay. And you're still hired as a consultant to work with?
Oh, by practice, I mean, I thought you meant for myself. I could be talked into, but it's not something I advertise doing feng shui consultations.
But you felt you've totally integrated it into your book. So that's why I was wondering if you still did in addition to getting back into your legal work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, feng shui, you know, all these spiritual tools are always, you know, are always a part of us. And, you know, I got to the, I went back into law after I've been in the healing arts for about 12 years and went back into law because I thought it was time to help other creatives. You know, I've published several books myself, and I wanted to help other creatives, you know, get their work out into the world, whether it's in the form of a book or a screenplay or a TV show or whatever the case is. And so it's my way of helping others, my way of using my talents and skills in a way that can help even more people.
And that's a cycle there, right? For yourself, mm-hmm. to start out in law and go through all your other versions of yourself through your own mm-hmm. self-exploration and to come back to law.
Yeah.
At the end,
yeah,
and continue moving through. So this is a really beautiful spiritual, ancient spiritual tool for modern living mm-hmm. that you've presented so beautifully. Is there anything else you would like to share for listeners so they can understand how to truly step into this aspect of themselves to unlock their creative potential?
Well, I love that you pointed out that, you know, bringing this ancient wisdom into our modern world, and that really was my ultimate goal for this book. Is we need to look to this ancient wisdom, and which is based in nature now more than ever. If we're just having a conversation about these elements, you know, brings us a step closer to the natural world. And, you know, we have to start creating from a place of what I call win-win-win, a win for me, a win for you, the customer, and a win for the planet. And so bringing these elements into a conversation with work and creativity and just our everyday life ultimately was my goal, to start living in more harmony with the planet.
I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a really heartfelt and just really beautiful goal to have. You know, the goal's not even the right, they just didn't statement.
Yeah. I think we all kind of got humbled in the last few years with this virus of how we have to work in harmony with the earth in new ways. And so it was, I feel like now is the time to bring this ancient wisdom back into the conversations.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that 100%. And so you mentioned you have a course coming up. Would you just tell us again about this course and anything else that you would like listeners to know?
Sure. From
your website, tishamorris.com.
Yeah, tishamorris.com is my website. So yeah, I have it's just a 2-hour workshop on December 13th. And I wanted to do it before the new year. I might run it again after the new year or after into the new year. But I wanted to, for those who are, for the wood elements out there who are already thinking ahead, and, you know, this time of year for me is kind of, I know it's all about Christmas, but I'm more about looking into the new year and seeing what's coming up. And so I wanted to go ahead and help people plant some seeds for what they want to do coming up. And, you know, anyway, it's a 2-hour workshop on December 13th. And it is about goal setting. And I'm not like, I mean, it kind of is like where woo-woo meets the practical, because, you know, I'm, you know, intentions, goal, whatever word you want to use. Basically, what do you want to do? What do you want to create this coming up year? And I'm going to help you identify where your missing link is, where you kind of get tripped up, and kind of help you put focus on how to jump that little hurdle and get some clear goals or clear steps in achieving your goal for 2023.
Amazing. Cool. And are you still offering your book, your writing courses as well?
Yeah, I have a bunch of download, like do on your own courses, a memoir course, the five elements course, which is called the Tao of Writing course. All of those are available at any time people can take on their own. I'll probably run another writing course in 2023, similar to the one that you took, for those who are steadfast in getting their book written this year. So yeah, I'm always, any way that I can help people accomplish their goals and their creative projects, I'm here for it.
Awesome. That's great. So if you're interested and you would like to find out more or check out any of those courses, you can go to tishamorris.com, and that is spelled T-I-S-H-A Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S.com, tishamorris.com. And that's awesome. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed your book. I'm going to tell my husband he should read it as well. And it's really, yeah, it was awesome. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to read it and taking time for this interview.
And you can visit theconsciousdiva.com for more information on this episode on the show notes page.